day.
You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Monday to you. It's Monday, February the 25th. This month is almost over. So is the patience of some of the 76ers fans. So is the optimism and the hype and all that of some of the 76ers fans is like going by the wayside. Now look, I'm not, I try to keep it real. I don't think it's time to hit the panic button. I mean, I know people were booing the 76ers after they lost Saturday's game to the Portland Trail Blazers. They lost to a team that's a horrible matchup for them. Horrible matchup. Some people were disappointed that Jimmy Butler only took 9 shots. He had 3 in the second half. You know, some people were upset that J.J. Redick shot 1 for 10. But we all knew this was a bad matchup for the Sixers. I mean, heck, Joel Embiid didn't play. That was the second of 3 games the big man was scheduled to miss with tendonitis in his left knee. Tonight's game is going to be tough, too. They go into New Orleans, the Pelicans. The Pelicans just defeated the Lakers without Anthony Davis. He's scheduled to play tonight. So it's another bad matchup for the Sixers. And then from there, Embiid should be back on Thursday when they go to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder. Then they have the Golden State Warriors after that on Saturday. And then get this. Next week, they have a back-to-back against Orlando and Chicago. Orlando at home, Chicago on the road. Oh, by the way, Orlando beat the Raptors last night. And before that, I believe the Magic had, they won 4 straight, a couple quality wins before losing to Chicago, lost by a point to Chicago. Let me get this right. Yep, they beat the Timberwolves. Then they beat the Bucks by 20. They beat the Hawks by 26. No, it's not 26. They beat the Hawks by 12, 14. Then they beat the Pelicans. They destroyed the Pelicans by 30. They destroyed the Hornets. They lost to the Bulls. And then they beat the Raptors. So, let's just say if the 76ers lose their next 4 games, the sky is going to fall in Philadelphia. Everyone's going to think the sky is falling. But then what's going to happen is the 76ers are going to turn around and go on a major run in the season. And everyone's going to be excited. This is how it is in Philly. This is how it is with the Sixers. You know that. I mean, think about it. Once the 76ers made this trade, the trade deadline, everyone, media, everyone, we were all swept up. We were all hyped up. Thinking like, hey, this team is deep. This team's starting lineup is the second best starting lineup in the NBA. we saw new faces on the bench. And just because they were new faces, we automatically assumed that the bench was going to be having an immediate upgrade. Right? But see, here's the thing we didn't take time to factor in. Chemistry. The 76ers need to develop chemistry. The 76ers need to develop and define roles. You can't do that in 2 weeks. Heck, I mean, think about it. Brett Brown used to always say in the beginning of the season, we won't really know our roles until Christmas. So when you think about that, you have, at that point, you have training camp, October, November, December, and then you find out what's going on. Right now, you got Tobias Harris who came in, and you have four reserve players who came in, and the 76ers have to define roles. They have to get everything. It's like speed reading, so to speak. We got to get everything warp speed, microwave basketball. We got to learn everything. It's tough. This is going to be tough for the 76ers, tougher than people think. But hey, again, they're professional athletes. No one told them to go on a cover of Sports Illustrated. You know, things happen. You know, it comes with the price of being a pro athlete, an elite level guy. Now, I'm not making excuses for the Sixers. I'm not. Or for their play. It just takes time. And right now, they're just a bunch of individuals. And I don't mean that in a negative way. They're just a bunch of individuals right now trying to gel to become a team. Because you need to be a team in order to go and do what you have to do. To win games. To find out who takes that shot. Yes, we all know that Joel Embiid's the best player in the game. But who's the second option? What happens if Joel has an off night? I mean, in a perfect world, we say Jimmy Butler takes over in the fourth quarter. He has in some games. But he only took one shot, I believe, in the fourth quarter in the last game. Now, again, they were getting blown. But Jimmy Butler has to have more than 9 shots for a game. And the thing is, when you factor it in, he made the 76ers' first 2 shots of the game. So after that early stretch, he only shot the ball 7 times. Tobias is new. Perfect world. You get Tobias off early. Right? You run plays for him. That opens up things for everyone else. You feed Embiid at times. But after that first quarter, you want Tobias Harris to be your leading scorer. You want him to open things up. Again, that takes time. Now, the thing is, though, a lot of people don't have time. That's the problem. And when you don't have time, sometimes the pressure is on. The pressure mounts. You get it. You see, the thing is, the 76ers got it. These players have to feel happy. They have to feel wanted. They have to feel like they're a part of something. Because let's get it real, keep it real. Most of these guys are on the final year of their deal. And if they can't mesh, if they can't mesh well, or they feel like they can't mesh well, they'll leave and go elsewhere. And the Sixers won't get the benefit from the moves that they made. Because personally, I believe that if Jimmy Butler stays, if Tobias Harris stays, if J.J. Redick stays, if they're able to keep on to TJ McConnell, which could be tough. And you could add on a couple other guys. I think that the benefit of the trades that the Sixers made, the first one in Jimmy Butler, and the second one that brought Tobias Harris, Mike Scott, Boban, James Ennis, and Jonathan Simmons, is really going to help the team next year if these guys stay. Right now, this team is top heavy. But this team does not have the chemistry. The problem is, you got to keep these guys happy. And losing games brings about frustration in NBA locker rooms. They're not there yet. Not collectively as a group. They're not there. However, if you lose games and guys don't get the shots that they want when you're losing and don't get to utilize their skills when you're losing, that often brings about frustration. That often brings about wanting to go to a different situation. So while it's not time to panic, it's not. They just have to weather this storm. And people have to be realistic. Like I wrote in yesterday's paper. Yesterday, Sunday's Philadelphia Inquirer. It's on Philly.com that the last team to win a championship after acquiring an all-star caliber player at the trade deadline was the 2004 Detroit Pistons when they picked up Rasheed Wallace. The last team to reach the conference, to reach the NBA Finals after acquiring an all-star at the trade deadline was the 2008 Los Angeles Lakers, Pau Gasol. They lost to the Celtics. So it's tough. Now, when you factor in what the Sixers are doing, they said, forget this, bring one dude. We got one all-star, and we got four more rotation players. So you look at it, and they have five of their 10-man rotation right now in the regular season. It's going to shrink. Five of the 10-man rotation, five of the players in the 10-man rotation are new. Come on, man. They don't even know the street signs of Philadelphia yet. They can't tell you the difference between South Philly, West Philly, North Philly, Frankfurt, Germantown. And they sure as heck don't know the difference between Mount Airy and West Oak Lane. Half the people in Philly don't. But look. But yet and still, in the playoffs, in the playoffs, I mean, to prepare for the playoffs, they got to learn all this stuff now. And yeah, they're pros. They get paid for it. But believe me, this task is tougher than people think. But again, they're pros. That's what they do. But I have a feeling that people, if they lose tonight, people are going to be upset until they get a given them. But if they beat OKC, people are going to be like, hey, we're back. We're back. I get it. They lose to Golden State. And if they lose to Orlando, who is the Magic is balling right now. If they lose to Orlando, there are going to be people saying stuff. So, I mean, if you look at it, the schedule is, like, we all say the schedule is easy. We all say that, like, the eighth, ninth easiest schedule. But that's towards the end. Because if you look at it right now, Sixers have the Pelicans tonight. Thursday, they go against OKC. Saturday, Golden State. Next Tuesday, Orlando. Then Wednesday at Chicago, Friday at Houston, at Indiana on Sunday. No, excuse me, Indiana at home on Sunday. And then Cleveland at home Tuesday, then Sac, Milwaukee, Charlotte, Boston, Atlanta, Orlando, Brooklyn, Minnesota, Dallas, Atlanta, Milwaukee, Chicago, Miami, Chicago. So when you look at it, the only gimmies that I see, wow. I mean, like, definite gimmies during this stretch. Or Atlanta twice, Chicago twice, Dallas, Cleveland. I mean, there's some saying definite give me. They play Chicago three times, not twice, three times. So, but we'll see what they do. We'll see what the Sixers do. All right, y'all. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.